At Arizona State University, we offer a wide variety of degree programs online to match all kinds of interests and career aspirations. Programs that are taught by the same notable faculty who teach on campus and designed using innovative technology to improve learning outcomes and equip you for post-graduation success. That's why 87% of ASU online graduates indicated they were promoted at work or received an increase in salary after earning their degree. Find your program at asuonline.asu.edu.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Vacations are always good. Sometimes they're even great. And Celebrity Cruises is about to ruin all of that. Because once you explore with us, you'll never want a vacation any other way. And with new Quick Caribbean Escapes, you'll never want a weekend any other way either. Celebrity Cruises. Nothing comes close. Visit celebrity.com, call 1-800-CELEBRITY, or contact your travel advisor. Ships Registry, Malta and Ecuador.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Welcome to the Friday afternoon live stream. I'm Bobby Burton, joined by CJ Vogel and Rod Babers. Hope everybody's doing all right. Happy TGIF, I guess is the best way to put it. Rod, CJ, you guys were not on Coffee and Football with us this morning. So I'm going to get y'all's take on what happened with Dominic Williams. Not necessarily what happened, because I know what happened, but tell me your thoughts about it, I guess. Rod, I'll start with you, buddy.
It could have been a lot of different things that swung it. And, you know, you got a defensive head coach there in Oklahoma and Brent Venables. So it could have been the sales pitch from a defensive coach. Texas has recruited, you know, two defensive tackles in the last two transfer portal acquisition cycles, if you will. So that could have been it, that maybe he thought, hey, you know, maybe that's not enough playing time. I want to play more. Texas does, you know, rotate their defensive tackles, and they're committed to that. So maybe he didn't want to rotate as much with those guys. That could have been it. It could have been, you know, maybe there's some NIL stuff in there. Like it could have been a number of different things. And I think ultimately it probably came down to Brent Venables' resume as a defensive mind and developing defensive players. And that may have been a better sales pitch than what Texas could give. No Bo Davis. And nothing against Kenny Baker. Kenny Baker's great. But he doesn't have a resume yet like, you know, a Bo Davis at LSU who can say, hey, man, these are the guys that I put in the league. I've coached in the league. You know, I know what it takes. You're an NFL player, and I can turn you into an NFL player, and I got proof of that. He didn't have that necessarily on his resume either, not to the extent that Bo Davis does. So it could have been a number of those different things.
Yeah, there's no doubt that NIL played a large role in it. Where does Texas go from here, though, in your opinion? And do they have enough on the roster right now at that zero technique, in your opinion, Rod?
Well, you got Bill Norton who can play the zero technique. He's a guy that can play the nose for you. He's got a lot of experience. About half of his snaps are in that A gap at the nose tackle. Tia Savea can do it too. He didn't do it to the extent that a Bill Norton did, but he's also a guy that can do it. I've been like, you know, probably 12% to 15% of his reps also were at the nose, so you can move him around. And then there's the guys you already have on campus, like a Sadir Mitchell. You hope takes a step. Young Alex January, you hope takes a step. But yeah, the truth is, without Dominique Williams, you didn't necessarily shore up that position. I mean, the truth is, if you'd have got Dominique Williams, the Texas D line may become, outside of the quarterback position, the strongest position group on the team. I mean, he's got that kind of potential if you add a guy like that, because he's got a Sunday skill set. So I think now you just need to make sure that you're going to hope one of those young guys steps up for you. They got two veteran D tackles in there, in Sevilla and Bill Norton, guys who are going to be familiar with Johnny Nansen, and he as the co-DC, and some things that, you know, they want to do. So I think the transition for those guys will be relatively seamless. I love what I saw from Sevilla in the spring game. So I think they have some contingency plans, but, you know, are those going to work? We don't know. I think also schematically, and we can talk about this later, there are some things that you can do schematically if the potential worst case scenario happens where you are not stout at the point of attack in the interior of your D-line, and say your contingency plans don't work out. There's still some things you can do, I think, schematically to help you potentially remedy that issue. So, I feel better about the interior D-line right now, and I honestly do about the secondary and some of their issues. So, I think ultimately Sark did everything he possibly could, and maybe they're still going to go out there and get another guy, but I think Sark did everything he possibly could to try to fill that hole in the roster. That's what I feel good about, is that Sark, he left no stone unturned trying to fill. I mean, he brought in two and wanted to bring in three. D tackles to try to shore it up, and that's really as much as Sark can do, other than talent development, which I'll say at Texas they've been really good at. So there's some faith in them developing the talent they have now on campus. It's Kenny Baker, it's a new coach, but faith in Sark that he's done a good job of hiring so far.
All right, CJ, your turn. Your thoughts on whether or not Texas filled enough of its need at defensive tackle, or was this a huge loss for Texas? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think Dominique Williams certainly would have helped this program on the field in 2024. I mean, this was a guy that was a freshman All-American 2 years ago. He received Big 12 honors a year ago as well. So it's a guy that can play some ball. I know Texas fans now going back to that TCU-Texas game saying, oh, he wasn't much of an impact guy. Well, I mean, in the interior defensive line, that's not where you see a whole lot of stats add up on a given game. So to me, he's a guy that would have helped Texas a lot. Right now, with the two additions Texas has added out of the portal with Bill Norton and Tia Sevilla, I feel more comfortable, especially with what I saw from Tia Sevilla in the spring game. I thought Sadir Mitchell had a good spring game. Oh, and he's not in the portal, I think, is just as big of a win, if anything, out of this spring for Texas, is that he remained on campus. And so what we continue to see and hear out of Alex January is encouraging. We know that Vernon Broughton and Alfred Collins can give you snaps, good series snaps at times. To me, that position is going to have to be more of a rotational group, kind of effort this fall. I think that was expected coming in, more so than what we saw a year ago, where it was two guys where you needed a big play, you throw them in the middle, and you let Byron Murphy and Tavondre Sweat go to work. That's not going to be the case this year. Luckily for Texas, there's a lot of bodies and a lot of experience, which in my opinion is very underrated on the interior of the trenches. This is like having a veteran point guard to me in basketball. You're going to have Alfred Collins, Vernon Broughton, Tia Sevilla, and Bill Norton, all guys who have had 4 or 5 years worth of college football under their belt by the time that the spring or that the fall comes back around for the Longhorns. That's very important to me. Of course, that then allows for guys like Aaron Bryant, Sadir Mitchell, Jarae Bledsoe to take that next step as well behind them. So I wouldn't say it's a big red flag. It's still not necessarily to the point where I'd like it to be. I think it will get there eventually, but no, more so out of what we saw this spring, Bobby, I think it's taken a step in the right direction, which I think we'd all had expected that to be the case coming into the spring season.
Yeah, the real question is who's going to line up over the ball, because they still don't have that guy. This was that guy, right? So Rod talked about they like to rotate, et cetera. You're right. I mean, it went from, okay, they could have the guy to do that for them, to now they're going to have to rotate through guys to get it accomplished. May not be a bad solution, but just not an ideal solution, I think.
They got to moneyball it. Yeah, it's going to be a money ball solution. And hopefully, the hope is that as you are rotating those four guys, as you talked about, CJ, those four or five guys, that you start to see one of those guys kind of steps up and become, you know, a dude, like a straight up dude in there who's close to being kind of a war daddy status. And that should be an Alfred Collins. It should be Alfred. Not in terms of the zero technique. That's different. Like we're talking about, that's going to be either Bill Norton, Savea, Sadir Mitchell, maybe Alex January. I mean, that's only a few select guys that can do that. Now that's going to be, if you don't have enough of those guys and neither one of those guys steps up and starts to separate, then we're talking about a problem. But right now, at least you have options. You have options. Now you didn't even have options prior to bringing in Savea and Bill Norton. That was the problem. Now you got some options, but you're right. If you get Dominique Williams, like I said, I mean, then we're having a discussion about the D line being the second strongest position group on the team potentially.
Especially if you add the ends to it.
Yeah. Oh man, that would have been. I'm sorry, I got caught up in that too last night, thinking, oh man, how nice would that be if you have the strength and you got a disruptor in the interior D line, an NFL caliber, you know, disruptor, a force multiplier inside, and then the depth on the edges. But right now, you still have the depth on the edges. So I think you got to money ball it. And schematically, you want to figure out, you know, what happens if you need to devote more resources to helping the guts of your defense, if they are not Tavondre Sweat, Byron Murphy. Let's say that is kind of a weakness for you. You know, how do you deal with that? So I trust PK. Johnny Nansen's going to help with that too, guys. I think there are some things that Johnny Nansen can bring to the table as well. And you go look at Arizona. Arizona loved it. They were one of the top teams in the Power Five in run blitzing. You know, PK is not a big run blitz guy. You can run blitz a little bit more, stop some of those plays in the backfield on early rundowns. That's something that Johnny Nansen's group in Arizona did a lot more of. Johnny Nansen's group in Arizona, a lot more single high safeties. That means cover one and cover three. If you're going to run single high, that means you got an extra defender rather than playing two deep safeties that you can bring down into the box, help out with the run game, help even out the numbers or even load the box if you want to in run game. So I think Johnny Nansen's influence actually could help them in if the interior defensive line ends up being somewhat of a nuisance or it ends up being a problem, some a vulnerability for him. But right now, I'm thinking pretty positive about the group. I'm positive that I'm just being optimistic that I think they will at least be able to hold their own. I don't know if they're not going to be dominant like they were last year, but I think they'll be able to at least hold their own. If that, like CJ says, that group has played a lot of football now, more than we thought of, more than we've initially thought.
There's one other thing I wanted to mention about Johnny Nansen's impression, which I hope we see a little bit more this year. And Bobby, Rod and I have had this conversation before about the middle linebacker blitz that he used very often at Arizona. I mean, Jacob Manu, who's a 5'11", 225 linebacker that played in the middle of the field for Arizona last year, had 5.5 sacks. If that doesn't give you an indication of what might be the case for David Benda or Anthony Hill this year, I hope that's something that he carries over and at least puts on the table for PK. PK was very creative at times a year ago when, you asked for those big-time blitzes, whether it be Anthony Hill off the edge. David Benda had a number of big-time plays coming up the middle. What we would have liked to have seen, at least in my eyes, for that Washington game is when, you know, you're getting that pressure off the edge, but he's able to slide up into the pocket, talking about Michael Penix here. Where are you going to create that pressure now if your nose tackles aren't getting there? Well, to me, that's Anthony Hill coming right up the gut, forcing the pressure from the interior. I hope that was something that we would have saw against Washington. I hope that's what we see with a little bit more Johnny Nansen impression. Maybe it's a coaching detail that he can add. Maybe it's a scheme or something that he can draw up and kind of just bring to the table. But that, to me, you look back at that Arizona defense, a big part of it was that linebacker pressure up the gut. 5.5 sacks from a 5'11 linebacker. You don't see that very often.
Yeah, no, he's creative. I like Johnny.
Yeah, he is creative. We're going to switch gears a little bit here, talk a little high school recruiting. CJ, you were out at the state track meet a little bit this morning, going back this afternoon. The rain keeping you down a little bit, my man. Also got to do some work on the live stream. But also I want to say this real quick, if you don't mind. I want to congratulate two former Longhorns, Cedric Griffin. His son Swade, a junior out at Lago Vista, and James Lott, his son, as well as daughter, his son Jalen Lott at Panther Creek in Frisco, and his daughter, Phelan. They won, those two, the young man and young lady, won the 4A state long jump yesterday. Swade Griffin, Cedric Griffin's son, won the state 110 high hurdles. What's interesting to me is all of those guys, Cedric Griffin retweeted me and said, bloodline matters. That's what he did when I tweeted that today a little bit. And I completely agree, and I'm happy for those guys. A lot of that stuff going on. CJ, you're going back out there tonight. Also, Jerry Hamilton is on the road today. He's been on the road the last couple of days. He saw KJ Lacy, the quarterback out of Saraland, Alabama, yesterday. Gave us some video, et cetera, of that. He's seeing Kevin Wynn today. Kevin is a defensive lineman out of Greene County in Greensboro, Georgia. Here are some of Kevin Green's. These are footage of Jerry earlier today talking to him. He's looking at Texas, Florida State, Georgia, as well as South Carolina. Wynn, interestingly, has set up an official visit to Texas for the June 14th through 16th weekend. That is a primary weekend. And, man, when I tell you guys that he looks good coming off the ball, he suplexes a couple people here, Rod and CJ. The Longhorns in serious consideration. Florida State thought to be a real primary contender here as well.
Yeah, I mean, my goodness. Watching this tape, I'm glad I'm not a running back playing against him. That's a guy that leaves you nightmares the week before a game, lining up knowing you got to face him on a Friday night. To do this at 320 pounds, Bobby, is incredibly impressive. So, if this is what we're seeing in high school, getting him into a college weight room and eventually seeing what he can do once you got, kind of add that armor a little bit, really impressive stuff. The get off the hands are very violent. This is up there with Brandon Brown's tape as in terms of what I've seen as the most impressive from an interior defensive lineman. And if you're Kenny Baker and those are the two guys you're able to pull, that alleviates any of those concerns or question marks about what you're able to do on the defensive line recruiting staff. Of course, getting him to camp is going to be big. That official visit weekend, June 14th through 16th, that's going to be a big time opportunity for the Longhorns, because obviously this is a big time football player and one that in the SEC you got to have in the middle of your defense if you want to compete with the best and the best.
Ooh,
yeah, Rod, man. You like this player a little bit? I heard that.
Yeah,
little boom
there. Yeah, he's got some ooh-wee to his game. Resets the line of scrimmage anytime he has to engage. He resets a guy. But what I love about him, and it sounds so simple, when I see a young D lineman in high school, I always tell him, man, don't stay blocked. Get the hell off the block, man. You know what I mean? It's not enough for you to just stand there and say, don't stay blocked. He does not stay blocked. If he engages, he's got violent hands, active hands, as my man CJ said. So he gets off blocks really well. But when he does engage, man, he resets the line of scrimmage. So he's got a lot of natural gifts as a player. Yeah. You can see his power. But he's got some burst to his game in terms of his first three or four steps. His first three or four steps were explosive, man.
He looks like a running back getting off the ball. Like those first couple steps, like you said, that's not a guy that you would expect to be 320 pounds.
Yeah. Hey, I gotta be honest with you guys. It's not for me. It's not about him and the running backs. I wouldn't want to play center against this dude.
He pushes him back.
That would be an every down. For me.
Yeah, he's pushing these guys back almost every time he engages them. You see these guys go backwards, man. He resets the line of scrimmage. So I'm with you. He looks like an SEC player to me.
Yeah, good stuff. Nope. Hey, I just want to say this. Our friend Jerry Hamilton is out and about. He was trying to get on, be live from the Kevin Wynn's track meet today. Jerry not going to be able to do this. For him, Rod, would you please do us a favor and read our latest advertiser, and that is South Point Dodge with Jerry on the road. We're brought to you by our friends at South Point Dodge.
Yes, I am happy to. And thanks to our friends over at South Point Dodge. Our Longhorn fans, we can help you get to the point over at South Point Dodge this season. South Point Dodge has over 600 vehicles in stock, folks. And their award-winning sales staff, they don't play games. They're not about gimmicks. They're all about getting straight to the point. And that point is getting you the best deal possible. So Come and score big at South Point Dodge. You can go see them today off I-35 in South Austin, or you can go to southpointdodge.com. That's southpointdodge.com. Get to the point at South Point Dodge. We appreciate South Point Dodge and their support. Go get a Dodge.
There you go. Hey, we've got questions that are going to come up in the live streamer. We're going to take those today. Rod, you need to do a Manscaped ad according to Ecamm. Hey, that's nothing for you, buddy.
I am happy to do a Manscaped ad. You know what I mean? I would just say this. I'm sure Bobby actually got a free like promotional Manscaped razor. I got a Manscaped razor on my own. All right. I own one. Boom. Bought it with my own money. All right. Boom. So there you go. That's your Manscaped ad right there. Gotta keep
got
it.
A shirt.
Gotta keep it groomed, man. Yeah, you know, some of y'all out there, y'all going old school with this stuff. Some of y'all ain't even manscaping, which is a mistake. But some of y'all, if y'all are manscaping, y'all doing it old school. Don't do it old school. You want to do it safely, too. If you're going to use an electric razor, you want to make sure it's safe. That's what Manscaped's about. You're going to be going down there with electric razors. You want to make sure that it's something that's made to be safe for you and yours. You know what I'm talking about? Protecting the family jewels. Yeah, that's what Manscaped does. There you go. That's your ad. You're welcome, Manscaped. That was free.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, let's go to the chat line. We got a couple of that going on. We also have something from ESPN I want to talk about here in a little bit. But let's take a few questions from folks. First off, let's start with Nick V. One of the few times Sark swings and misses into a rival school, nonetheless. This would have hurt less if they had gotten the DT from UCLA. The DTs they have now better take a huge jump ASAP. Hey, what do you think about this, CJ? They also didn't get Jay Toya from UCLA. They went after two guys in the portal outside of Bill Norton and did come up empty so far in the spring portal.
Yeah, I mean, to his point, I mean, a bit rare. You don't see that too often from Sarkisian and his staff, especially when it's a guy that would provide such a big impact immediately. Jay Toya, to me, is a bit interesting bringing that one back up because he was on campus for the spring game. He was there for 2 days, spent all that time on campus with his entire family, let me add. And when he got back out west, it seemingly was very quickly the decision was made to stay home. I'm not sure if Texas was as true of a competitor in that recruitment as it was made out to be. If not, I mean, again, that was a very quick reassurance by UCLA that was where he should be at the point. So credit to them for holding on to him, of course. But yeah, no, it certainly would have at least alleviated the loss of Dominic Williams should Texas have landed Jay Toya in that one. I also think Texas landing Bill Norton and Tia Savea had a bit to do with the Longhorns not landing either Toya or Dominic Williams, more so with Williams, because I think that was used in pitches against Texas at the point. Of course, Texas knows and pitched the opportunity to come in and be a big-time player on the interior defensive line. But when you go out and you get two other big contributing guys from Power 5 conferences, it certainly doesn't help when other programs are saying we've not yet done that. The road the path to the field is much clearer here than it is at Texas. So that makes sense to me, but I think that's a really interesting point. So right now, again, going back to that conversation about the interior defensive tackles, if there's one thing that you can look at and say, all right, this is the bright spot, it's the experience. It's a lot of older guys in that room. It's a lot of guys that have played a lot of football. So hopefully that's something that they can rely on in the fall and in the SEC, especially because you're going to need that experience and that time on the field when it comes to playing against some of the best competition in college football.
Yep. Here's one that I like. Listening in from the paddleboard on Sullivan's Island, South Carolina. That's Texas. Hope you didn't fall off when Rod started talking a minute ago about
Hey, I ought to do a Friday live stream from Lady Bird Lake out here in the summer, Bobby. What do you think?
You go right ahead, Rod. As long as you're covering recruiting and the team while you're doing it. CJ, how do the 2025 and 2026 OL classes compare within the state of Texas? We've talked about it. I mean, Texas has 7 or 8 offers out to in-state players on the O-line in 25. That's got to be a pretty good year. We know John Turntine is a sophomore right now at North Crowley, considered one of the best prospects overall in the state. How did the 25-26 classes stack up on the O-line?
Yeah, I think this is a really good in-state crop for the 2025 class. And, of course, you're headlined by, you know, guys like Michael Fasusi, Lamont Rogers. You have the Bridgeland guys who, oddly enough, are committed to both rivals of the University of Texas at the moment. But right now, to me, that's a really impressive group. And I think you're able to go in and you're able to find guys like Jackson Christian, you know, Tyler Thomas, a number of guys on the interior that figure to be big-time players at Power 5 levels. To me, 2025 is a little bit deeper. But, of course, on the offensive line specifically, I think that you see the development later on. So to compare the two right now, a little bit unfair for those 2026 guys. But there is some big-time talent in that 26 class that we're starting to see. Of course, John Turntine steals the headlines. But, I mean, you go out and you look at, you know, Zayden Crimpen out in Prosper, J.J. Mays out Pflugerville Weiss, Drew Evers at Flower Mound. There's some talented kids there. I want to go back and that April 13th weekend for Kyle Flood, able to come in and get Brett Colleger from IMG Academy, Toa Katoa out of Ulis Trinity. That's a 366-pound guy that literally fits the definition of big humans that we've seen Texas and Flood go after so far. So there are guys. We'll continue to see more as they develop and get into their summer bodies going into their junior seasons this fall. But right now, I have to give the nod to the 25 class because I think that's a really special in-state crop at the moment.
Yeah, I think the depth is what's rare. Yeah, as much as anything. They've got a lot of guys, various positions, big Coleman brothers up at Cedar Hill, that group. They just got a lot of guys around the state. All right, Rod, I'm going to go to you. We're taking questions. This is the Friday afternoon live stream. Myself, Bobby Burton, alongside Rod Babers and CJ Vogel. Guys, let's go to this one from Hookem Casino. Rod, I heard your conversation with Coach Shipley yesterday on football theory. Can someone besides myself explain to everyone our secondary is going against a top five offense? Of course, they're going to get beat more often than if we had a 50th ranked offense. How much of the poor showing in the spring game that the Texas secondary had came because the Texas offense had so many weapons itself?
Yeah, I mean, you threw this out there, Bobby, right after the spring game, right? It was a different phrase of the question, but you was like, hey, is it more the offense is closer to being elite and just that explosive and indefensible, or is it just the pass defense is that subpar, right, and that vulnerable? And, you know, I think I said it was more the pass defense than the offense, even though I think the offense is going to be really, really good. I would agree with that statement that, yes, it's more the offense in the spring game because of all the weapons, because of how deep they are at quarterback, than it was the defense. If I hadn't witnessed 2023, the season itself, I just watched that secondary. I watched that secondary allow Power 5 starting quarterbacks to complete 42% of their deep passes, and I watched them allow them to complete 45% in the spring game. So that, to me, is flashback. Not the same guys, but it's just flash. I'm having flashbacks. I'm just having flashbacks of the season when I see the spring game. So that's probably not fair. That's distorting the evaluation. But I think that's probably what is shifting the shaping the narrative right now about the Texas secondary. Now, Sark isn't concerned, by the way. So I have confidence in Sark. He's earned that trust. Sark is not concerned. He was at the touchdown club earlier this week. And he's like, hey, Kelvin Banks got beat too. Kelvin Banks going to be all right. And so is our corner. So are our corners. So it's the secondary. And he said, well, they got versatile pieces and that they're the most talent they've had in the secondary since he's got here. So he's not concerned about the secondary. Remember after spring game, he didn't say anything about the secondary. He started talking about the interior D-line. We need big humans. And I was like, wow, he didn't mention the secondary at all. So the reason I'm just theorizing here, right? So it's just me hypothesizing. I think that one of the reasons that Sark is so confident in what their pass defense is going to take, all the reasons he gave, versatility, as we've been talking about, is kind of the word of the offseason, and also the talent they have back there now. They got their guys infused in, Malik Muhammad, Derek Williams. I think that going back to the Johnny Nansen influence, I feel like that's kind of one of the themes of the day. But remember, guys, think about what Johnny Nansen did there at Arizona in that the best we've seen the Pac-12, what, in the last 15 years or so? I haven't seen the Pac-12 that good in a really, really long time. And look at all the stuff that he brought to the table. And it's like in the spring game, we know everything's vanilla. So the defense isn't showing anything. You didn't see any elaborate exotic looks from the defense. You're not going to see a lot of exotic pressure packages and all that kind of stuff. But when I started studying Johnny Nance in the last 2 years, just to show you how multiple his defense is, in 2022, he used a joker package. It was a five down lineman package, spin down his extra linebacker on the outside, and he used it against San Diego State. Thought it was a real good package to match up well with him. This past season, when he faced USC and when he faced Washington, really explosive offense, first-round quarterbacks, right? He used what they call a dollar package. It's called a quarters package elsewhere. It's seven defensive backs on the field. Seven defensive backs, three down linemen, one linebacker. And it was – and by the way, it worked. Caleb Williams, who's usually pretty explosive at the time, it was his season low in yardage for 219 yards passing, only one touchdown. Michael Penix, I don't believe, had a touchdown passing, which is, as Longhorn fans know, tough to do. when they faced Washington State, Arizona came out in that old school Desert Swarm, basically the old Desert Swarm defense with Dick Tomey. You're talking about the double eagle, right? The double eagle flex, which, you know, that's old school football. But it came out in that against Washington State, and they blew Washington State out. Cam Ward, good quarterback, really didn't do much. And then when they faced Oregon State, you see them in the 3-4. They ran a 4-2-5. Hell, they ran the three high safety defense against Oregon State a couple times. They, in terms of just being multiple and being versatile and showing exotic looks, I think that's what Johnny Nance is going to do with PK. He's going to come in and show him some exotics. And what exotic looks do, and listen, I think PK is open to being influenced by, you know, really good defensive minds he respects, like a Gary Patterson, who came in and gave him the blueprint for the Big 12. Then they started running more pattern match cover four, and that's kind of now their calling card, right? They want more pattern match than any team pretty much in the Power Five. They're one of the top five teams in the Power Five in terms of running pattern match cover four. Still haven't perfected it, but it's one of their bread and butters. And I think they're going to get into exotic looks. You got versatile defenders. Remember, Sark, you're talking about versatility. Versatility is weaponized with exotic looks. And Johnny Nansen can bring in a lot of different exotic looks. PK doesn't really like exotic looks, or at least he hasn't since he's gotten here. There have been a couple in there, but not game to game, matchup wise, right? Basically, opponents freaking out week to week, like, what the hell are we going to see from PK this week? We don't know. You pretty much know what you're going to see from PK. With Johnny Nance, you had no damn idea what you was going to see from week to week. And I think that's what you really want. I think you want to get into some of that. And that, by the way, that is how you improve a pass defense, right? You force a quarterback to have to process more in a shorter time span, right? So in pre-snap, we're going to give you a lot to process because you're not going to know the looks. They're not going to be familiar to you. We can move the safeties around. We can play bump and run on the outside, throw off the timing and the chemistry of the wide receivers and the quarterbacks and the routes. You can move your safeties around a little bit. You can also do more twists and stunts up front. That's also something Johnny Nansen does. A lot more twists and stunts and games up front to confuse blocking schemes. He's all about creating chaos. And chaos is always good for defense. Why? Because offense is built on precision, execution, timing. So the more chaos you have, even if you don't know where the chips are going to fall, creating chaos is always good for defense. Now, every now and then, you got an agent of chaos, like a Lamar Jackson, somebody like that. It's like, hey, they thrive in chaos. Those dudes are rare, though. But for the most part, offenses are built on precision. Quarterbacks, they know when the ball is coming out based on a three-step, five-step, seven-step, right? Offensive linemen time up their footwork with their hand placement. Timing, precision, everything. You want to throw that off as much as possible. That's what Johnny Nansen does really, really well schematically. And I think that's why Sark is so confident that, oh, pass defense, we got something for y'all. We got something for you. We about to throw something at you. Something you ain't seen. You're going to be like, damn, this ain't the Texas defense we're used to seeing. So that may be just me guessing. Like I said, this is my theory as to why he may be so confident. And he's not concerned about the pass defense, even though I am concerned about it. But he ain't.
You get after the quarterback, Rod, all things change. And exactly. And I think that is, you know, it's what University of Houston, for example, did to Texas last year.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If you can be unpredictable, I would say this. It takes some older players to do that.
That's true. Great point.
So does Texas have an older defense? I don't know so much if they do. I wouldn't say they do. They got young corners. Whoever the corner opposite Manny Muhammad is going to be a new starter. Andrew McCuba's experience, but he's still coming in. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if Texas is able to pull that off. They don't have a Jalen Ford to kind of mix it or to tie it all together, the front and the back. Exactly. So I agree with what Rod's saying here about what you could do. I worry about whether or not you have the personnel to do it ideally. All right, CJ, going to go to you. Thanks to George Lopez for this super chat. We appreciate you, George. Great content as always. Hook 'em horns. Hook 'em to you, George. What's next? The big recruiting commitment for the Longhorns. And where do we have players who have left to be signed? First of all, I would say this. Texas has one visitor on campus right now, official visitors. That's Javion Cole, a cornerback out of San Jose State. They are trying to add him as a transfer portal guy. CJ, I'm going to ask you outside of him because they're trying to get him, and I know that he's got a visit scheduled to Auburn, but you and I both know they're trying to get him to become a Longhorn sooner rather than later, right? Tell me what you think about on the high school level. Any big names out there right now where you think Texas is on the cusp of something?
Yeah, I think there's three or four guys here that I think Texas is really close to possibly landing a commitment from. The first is James Simon, the running back out of Louisiana. Tashard Choice was out there on Tuesday to see him in person. Of course, it to me reads that Texas is taking that pole position. Of course, he mentioned following the spring game that Texas and what they did on the field, you know, really widened his eyes a little bit. He was really impressed with the offense performance, the running backs, the offense in general, the playmakers, and the way that they get him the ball. And Choice has certainly been able to establish and maintain that relationship a little bit more so as the spring continued, more so than where it was in the fall. Also, Riley Pettijohn, the linebacker out of McKinney, a guy that, you know, cracked 11 seconds in the 100-meter dash this spring as well. He was on campus for the spring game. Texas is moving really well in that department. Michigan, USC, Florida State, a number of schools that are, you know, certainly making it difficult for the hometown team in that one. But if you are able to combine him with Elijah Bo Barnes, you're looking at a really talented linebacking group in the 2025 class. And then the last one is Jackson Christian, who came down April 6th, came back very quickly right after, turned back around from that drive from PNG after his visit on Saturday, visited once again on Tuesday. Of course, Texas A&M, it will be a Lone Star State showdown for the two-time state champion out of Port Neches Grove for Jackson Christian. Right now, he's looking like a guy that Texas could certainly add to their offensive line group at the moment. Those three are really standing out to me. There's a few others behind the scenes, but in terms of who might be next, I feel like those three are probably guys that are closer to the cusp of a decision more so than some of the other guys on the big board at the moment.
So Simon, Pettijohn, potentially Jackson Christian. Those are the guys for you right now. Got it. Okay. All right. Let's keep going here. Matt, I'm talking to our producer, Matt. Do you mind pulling up that ESPN article I sent you a link to via text message? ESPN, we talked a little bit this past week after Texas had the 11 draft picks. Who might be picked heading into 2025? Well, ESPN came out with its mock draft about an hour and a half, 2 hours ago. Here are the guys that they had and the rankings. Longhorns, according to ESPN, would have three first-rounders at this point, starting with Kelvin Banks overall at number six. Then comes Quinn Ewers, obviously the quarterback, at number 12, same spot. J.J. McCarthy went, is that right, I believe? The national champion can go back to back in the 12th pick. What do we think? We wouldn't mind that. And then how about this one at 27, portal transfer and incomer, Isaiah Bond. This is very similar to the spot that Xavier Worthy went in. He went 28th overall to the Kansas City Chiefs. Guys, a couple other things I wanted to bring up here. We asked our fans on Texas football who they thought, which Texas player that was drafted is going to be have the most impact on their team or have the best pro career. I thought Byron Murphy, being the higher pick, might actually win that, but Xavier Worthy was given the nod by the fans. Rod, you agree with that? Is it because the fit is just so darn good in Kansas City, you can't deny it?
Yeah, that's it. It's the best fit of any player drafted in the draft all seven rounds, guys. There's that's the crazy. Like, I don't think there's a better fit. I just looked at the draft. I was like, there's got to be somebody as a better fit. I don't know if there's a better fit for anybody. When you think about what they lost, right, in terms of Tyreek Hill, they lost the verticality. I've given this stat before. Average length of a Patrick Mahomes touchdown, less than 4 yards in 2023. It was 17 yards in 2019. They've pretty much castrated that offense in terms of the vertical threat of it. And it doesn't matter. Patrick Mahomes is just that good. But I believe they want to bring that back. And think about how tough Travis Kelce is going to be to defend when you have to respect 2-4-2s on the outside, one Hollywood Brown, but then now with Xavier Worthy on the outside. They use a lot of motion. That's a great way to get, that's why Sark used to use it to get Xavier Worthy open, targets to motion. Andy Reid's big on that. They're a top five team in the NFL in terms of their usage of motion. That's something that he has in trouble. With Steve Sarkisian's offense. They're both West Coast passing games. But, and you pointed this out too, Bob, and I love it. I always talk about the sack avoidance ability of Patrick Mahomes. I think he's the best in the NFL at sack avoidance, which means he can extend a play from 3 seconds to 5 seconds. And I can't imagine having to defend Xavier Worthy on a scramble drill and Travis Kelce in the scramble drill. So you got a short underneath threat when the fit hits DeShan, and then you got a deep threat when the fit hits DeShan. I think they're going to be lethal, guys. I think ultimately it could be a lethal offense. And now Rashee Rice is facing a half a season suspension potentially for the hit and run incident. So you could have even more usage and targets funneled through Xavier Worthy early on. I do. I think it's ultimately, guys, it's match made in heaven. I do. Or yeah. Hell, if you're a Texans fan like me.
Well, the Texans have Tank Dell, who's not dissimilar.
Yes. Yeah, ways, exactly. Right? Yeah.
And so that's very interesting. Because in the NFL, they all have quarterbacks that can throw it a mile long, right? Mm-hmm. And guys like Dell and like Worthy that can get behind anybody, no matter who you are. And suddenly, if you get away from rushers, it's a nightmare of sorts. Hey, CJ, let's go back to that mock draft that ESPN did. Any of those surprise? Like, I wouldn't pick Isaiah Bond over Xavier Worthy, but I do think that Isaiah Bond is your more typical receiver in that he's slightly larger built, and so people aren't worried about him getting broken in half as much as they would be, say, as Xavier Worthy, who goes $165.
Yeah, I would agree with
that list for you.
I would agree with that. You know, I think you'll see Isaiah Bond creeping in that high 4.3 area. Of course, that's a big-time speedster that Texas expects to be a big-time playmaker and fill the shoes of Xavier Worthy this year, coming from Alabama. Going one spot earlier in the draft than what Xavier Worthy did, I think, to me at least, speaks on the depth of the wide receiving group in the 2025 draft versus what we saw this past week in the NFL draft. What's interesting to me, of course, is what kind of production will we need to see from Isaiah Bond to get into that first round? You know, he had 650 yards or so at Alabama a year ago, and even then he was being mocked as an early round pick. You know, if he's able to jump into that, you know, 120 target range and, you know, pull off about 80 catches for Texas, which is similar to what we saw from Xavier Worthy over the past three seasons, I think you're going to see him fall somewhere in between that 25 to 40 range, which is exactly where Worthy was being mocked prior to the draft when he was selected 28th by the Chiefs. So it makes sense to me. You don't see guys with that level of speed and production enter the draft all too much, especially after playing at Alabama and now at Texas. So it makes sense. I probably think it's a little bit too high. Bobby, we also had the conversation on the Thursday night Longhorn live stream Thursday night. Who would be the fourth guy from this Texas group, if there is one, to go in the first round? Who might jump into that group of the, you know, the top tier draft prospects from this team that we hope to see in the fall? I had Trey Moore, and I kind of looked at it like a Hassan Reddick 2.0 kind of guy, a guy who's had four straight consecutive seasons of 10-plus sacks in the NFL. Both of them not the most lengthy or tall athletes off the edge, but they're able to get into the backfield because of their quickness. Hassan Reddick's only about 6'1.5", 225, 230. Yeah. And Trey Moore at 6'2.5", probably a little lighter than that, but about 240 or so. I mean, that feels like to me a guy, if he has a really good year, it'd be very difficult to deny the production regardless of competition level. Because again, having 15 and a half sacks over the last year, 2 years is not something that you can just bat an eye at. That was my pick, but I wanted to hear your thoughts because I think we're tiering these guys in the top three with Banks, Bond, and Ewers have certainly separated themselves so far from the rest of the pack.
Yeah, I would be a little bit different. I think those top three are the top three, to your point. Trey Moore just doesn't – he's got the intangibles, but he's not going to have the physical
right
line item that people are going to necessarily want. I hope he ends up a first-round pick. That'd be tremendous. The guys that I kind of said, oh, these guys might have the numbers. Cam Williams, believe it or not, I know he's only going to have 1 year starting, but he looks like a first-round draft pick. If you draw up an offensive lineman and say, what are they supposed to look like if they're a first-round draft pick at right tackle, you draw up Cam Williams before you draw up Kelvin Banks, by the way. That just to give you a sense of, you know, physical nature. It doesn't mean that he's a better player than Kelvin Banks. Not trying to say that. I'm just – physically, he looks like a first-round draft pick potentially.
I agree with that.
The other one, potentially, Amari Nyblak. And not necessarily physically. Again, he is, and I'll say this the right way. He is not a tight end if you're drafting him that high. He's more of that flex guy. They're trying to use the 6'4 guy that maybe 6'5 that actually can go vertical. I'm not so sure. Like, if you're to, I will say this, if you're to compare Amari Nyblak's pro potential to JT Sanders, Amari Nyblak is higher in that category. Doesn't mean they should be, there's the same caliber player right now. Not saying that. Just saying, you know what they're looking for. They're looking for speed, catch radius, ability to make people miss. Some sort of mismatch. Well, Amari Nyblak as a tight end has the ability, and as an H-back kind of has the ability to make people miss and be a mismatch. And then I do agree with Trey Moore. I don't know. Some people are going to try to say Ethan Burke or guys like that. The other guys that I think are in that category are not going to be, but sophomores. And that is Arch Manning, Anthony Hill, Manny Muhammad.
Yeah.
So one of the things Jerry and I want to talk about this weekend is that sophomore class and where some of those guys might be physically. Because that the next group of those guys, I think, is like I don't know how many linebackers go in the first round. I think it's possible Anthony Hill's a first round.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. I think Manny Muhammad, same thing. So I don't know if it's 2025, CJ, as much as it is 2026.
Yep.
The sophomore is going to be juniors this year.
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk a little bit more. We got time for your questions here on the Friday afternoon live stream. Rod, I'm going to ask you here in a sec to read our promo for our friends at South Point Dodge. They've done a great job and really helped us out here with sponsoring On Texas Football. So, Rod, you go ahead and you take it away, bud.
Appreciate that, and I appreciate our friends over at South Point Dodge. So, hey, Longhorn fans, you can score an easy extra point, and every point matters. You can score that easy extra point this season when you get to the point at South Point Dodge. South Point Dodge has over 600 vehicles in stock right now, and their award-winning sales staff, they don't play games, folks. They're not about gimmicks at all. They're just about getting to the point, and the point is they want to get you the best deal possible. So score big today at South Point Dodge. Go see them off I-35 in South Austin, or you can go visit them online today at southpointdodge.com. That's southpointdodge.com. Get to the point at South Point Dodge.
Thanks, Rod. Hey, Rod, I'm going to stay here with you on this from Brandon Huey. Is there a world where Jonte Cook doesn't start in the spring and Ryan Wingo does, taking injury, of course, away from it, but are out of the equation? What do you think there? Is there a world where Jonte Cook starts or doesn't start, but Ryan Wingo does?
I don't see it, but it's hard to keep Ryan Wingo off the field, period. fit in terms of physical gifts and physical traits, he's the most gifted receiver you got out there, period. In terms of his physical gifts. Now, familiarity with the offense, football IQ, he hadn't had the reps, the experience, and there's a lot of other stuff you got to consider. But if you're talking about just elite traits, he's the guy. I think Sark's big about trust. That's why I call it the circle of trust. And I do think he trusts Ryan Wingo already, because he talks about how among the freshmen, he's already separated. But I think Jonte Cook has earned that trust already as a player who's been here and done that. He's got familiarity with the system and he's got chemistry with the quarterback. So I think, you know, between Isaiah Bond and Jonte Cook, those guys will be out there. That may be another receiver that ends up being threatened. But I think those top two are the top two. Bond is your, you know, I'm saying it's number one, but it's Bond, and then I do think it's Cook in terms of that circle of trust. But I will say this about Wingo, and I know there's DeAndre Moore, and then you got Matthew Golden. I mean, you got a lot of, you know, really good young players there. But I wouldn't doubt if Ryan Wingo can get to the starting lineup, but not necessarily take Cook's spot, just because you got to force him on the field. But I think Sark early on will make him earn it. I think he'll make him earn it. So he won't. I don't think he'll start initially. I think by midseason, I think he'll be getting as many reps as any other receivers out there, potentially, other than Matt. Maybe Isaiah Bond is your guy other than that. But I think he'll be getting a lot of reps. You can't treat him like a freshman. Sark said at the touchdown club in Houston, I want to make sure I get the point. He moves older. That was a quote from Sark. It's weird to, but I know exactly what he's talking about. I can see it in my head. He does. It's his savvy way that he goes about running his routes, positioning his body, even adjusting to the football. He said he moves older. He's just stronger and faster that way than most kids that come in, period. He's an old soul, man. He's a prodigy. So you have to accelerate his development. So with that being said, yeah, you do have to give him a lot more reps. I think Jonte Cook, though, has earned the trust to still be the guy ahead of him.
What about you, CJ? Where you stand on that? You think that Cook can find his way out of the starting lineup, or you think he's safe?
Right now, I think he did enough towards the back end of the spring to string together some momentum for the fall. Of course, that second scrimmage, he had the first touchdown. He had four catches and looked pretty comfortable in my eyes in the spring game as well. So that's what I wanted to see. I wanted to see more from Jonte Cook early in the spring, and I think he answered that call a little bit as the spring progressed. But certainly, to Rod's point, when you hear and you see Ryan Wingo in person, it makes sense to think that it's going to be tough for him to stay off the field. And whether that be Jonte's spot or not, I mean, I think he's living up to that five-star potential off of just 15 practices thus far. Of course, it is going to change a little bit whenever you see live action against other teams and in big-time stadiums as well. But to that point, I mean, all we've seen and heard about Ryan Wingo has been he's made plays. So I don't know if it's Jonte Cook. I would like to think Isaiah Bond sticks on the field. I like to think Silas Bolden, Matthew Golden certainly find their roles as well. This is a good problem for Texas to have, is there's so many guys vying for so little spots that the cream's going to rise to the top. You know, that's that fun saying that we get to throw out every so often at certain positions at Texas. Running back is going to be another one. But for Jonte right now, it's all about the consistency. And can you be that guy for Quinn Ewers to be a reliable piece in this offense? Are the hands going to be something that you can sit there and say, yeah, he's not going to drop a 3rd-and-7. Yeah, he's going to run the right route on a 14 to 12-yard comeback. Right now, those were the inconsistencies with Jonte early in the spring and dating back to his freshman year, but he's got all the talent in the world. He was a borderline 5-star himself, comes from a good program in DeSoto, and now he's got that chip on his shoulder, knowing that there was a little bit of media skirmish back in the spring as well, whether or not we should be worried about him. So I think he knows that folks are looking at him under the microscope just a little bit, and this is going to be a good opportunity in May. The month of May is when these guys go back home, and I wrote about this a little bit earlier on Texas football. These guys go home for a month, and then they come back for summer conditioning. Well, guess who lives just 15 to 20 minutes down the road? It's your starting quarterback. So for this next month, if you want to get your work going and you want to have that extra opportunity to get the good graces of Quinn Ewers, you should be hitting that turf field with Quinn pretty often each week over the next month just to get those extra reps in, know what the play calls are, run each position at that wide receiver spot, and see what that does for that camaraderie between the two. But to your point, now I have a hard time not seeing Jonte on the field in any capacity. Will he be a starter? Right now I say yes. Will he be the starter come week six or seven? I think that, again, kind of depends on what we see early on from Ryan Wingo.
Yep.
I want to say this. I think that, and I could see it and sense it in the spring game, the familiarity with Sark's offense for not only Jonte, but DeAndre Moore was obvious to me compared to the other receivers. Now, that didn't make the other receivers valueless. Isaiah Bond ended up having a good spring game after struggling in the first half. Ryan Wingo just had a great spring game period, right? But I think and that familiarity is going to pay dividends early and often for those two guys, Moore and Cook. So I actually think Cook's going to stick as a starter and get into the rotation and have a better opportunity because of that, CJ and Rod, to develop a rapport with Quinn Ewers.
Early.
You're not going to take him out later once the relationships develop. This is an interesting question here. Going to Dennis Donaldson with a super chat. Thank you. Do you think Tavondre Sweat, not Loaf, would have been selected where he was if the Adams family wasn't picking there? What do y'all think? I mean, the Adams family, Houston natives, that kind of thing. I don't know. Texas, by the way, Texas, I think one of the sons or daughters went to Texas as well, or maybe.
Okay.
What are y'all's thoughts on that?
Okay, I will say this. Some GMs openly discussed that. Nick Caserio has openly said he likes players from the Houston area or players that are, you know, from Texas. He said he believes it's a pride thing, that they have more pride in that institution, more pride in that organization. Whether that's true or not, who knows? But he said it's something he considers. So is it something that is considered by some? At least we know by one, he's openly said it's something he considers. I don't know if that's what the Tennessee Titans were thinking when they drafted Tavondre Sweat. I do think it was a hell of a bargain for him. There are at least three guys in this draft that you're looking at some of the post-draft analysis, and they're saying, oh, this guy was the steal of the draft. I've seen articles with Tavondre Sweat seen as the steal of the draft because they thought he was going to drop all the way down to the third round. I've seen that with JT Sanders, a guy seen as the steal of the draft. I think Tavondre Sweat, ultimately, you could look back and he could be that. Guys, we talked about, you know, Dominique Williams, right? And what his NIL value could be here in college. And apparently the rumors are, hey, it was something, some crazy number. We have no idea what it is. But you go look at the NFL and what is becoming, and I was talking about this 2 years ago, what's becoming a premium position, it's interior defensive tackle. You go look at the 16 highest paid defenders in the NFL last year, and half of them were D tackles, like interior D linemen. Just in the last year, you've seen Chris Jones and Christian Wilkins and Quinnen Williams and Derrick Brown and Jeffrey Simmons, Deron Payne. Everybody's paying these D tackles a ton of money because everybody wants to now play with a light box. They want to play with two deep safeties, win the numbers advantage in the passing game, and win one-on-ones up front to try to defend the run game. And if you do that, the only way you can play with two deep safeties is with a light box. Now, you can still win with a light box, especially if you got an Aaron Donald or you got a Chris Jones, because those guys demand a double team on damn near every play. So what does that do? Well, a light box is when they have more blockers than you have defenders. Well, if you have to, you take, you know, two blockers, two of your linemen to block my one, or even three to block my one in Aaron Donald's case, well, the numbers advantage flips back in my favor. So those guys are so important if they have the ability to do that. Byron Murphy can do that. Now, sometimes they need guys like Tavondre Sweat who are just so massive that he can not only demand a double team, but he can take up a gap and a half with just his size alone. They don't make human beings that big anymore, right? So rarity determines value. He's the biggest D tackle now in the league right now. And who wants to play bully ball more than the Titans? Even, you know, before this latest GM got there, they were kind of a bully ball franchise. They want to get back to that on both sides of the ball. So Tavondre Sweat's got a chance, and Byron Murphy got a chance to make a lot of money in this league the way it's heading right now. The way it's heading right now, D-tackle guys, I don't know if there's a position right now other than quarterback that's rising in value as fast as D-tackle. I'll give you one quick stat. In 2014, top 10 edge rushers in the NFL made 44% more than the top 10 D-tackles. Now it's only 6% more. In 2014, you had 14 edge rushers making more than $10+ million, only 4 D-tackles. Now you got 14 edge rushers making $20+ million, but you got 10 D-tackles, making $20+ million. So you can see that D-tackle position is just starting to become just as important as that edge just because of the philosophy on defense. T. Sweat and Byron Murphy got a chance to make a lot of money. Somebody tell Alfred Collins that, hey, man, if you can play multiple shades in the interior D-line and you got a body like Alfred Collins, which is basically kind of a Chris Jones starter kit, bro, get committed right now because they paying D-tackles a whole lot of straight cash on me right now. Whole lot of it.
Rod, do it. Don't do it for Texas. Do it for the money.
Do it for the money, man. Exactly.
Do it for yourself.
Can't do it for the Rod. Go for the green.
Syracuse Board had a comment here. If Trey Moore, and this is a CJ's guy, was Trey Moore possibly sneaking into that first round potentially. If Trey Moore has 10 plus sacks in the SEC, he's going to be highly valued. That's accurate. Brandon Ralston with a super chat here. We need more 4 wide receiver sets. Right now we have 5 guys that can go. Rod would be all for that for sure. I think that Silas Bolden's addition in the summer, he said he's going to show up. We talked to him earlier this week. He's in town starting on June 3rd,
nice.
By the way.
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting. All right, CJ, I got to ask you a question here coming up on this. You're headed, as we've mentioned earlier, Jerry Hamilton is out in Gainesboro, Georgia today checking on Kevin Wynn, big defensive tackle, who has now set an official visit to Texas for June 14th through 16th. Texas continues to go hard in the high school ranks for defensive tackle. All of these guys setting up for June official visits, by the way. CJ, you're heading back out to the state track meet, which concludes today and tomorrow. We mentioned already that 2 Longhorns and their sons actually won gold medals yesterday. Swade Griffin, the son of Cedric Griffin, the cornerback, has won the 110 high hurdles in 4A. And Jalen Lott, the son of James Lott, who played for Texas in the late 80s, he won the long jump in gold medal. Actually had his daughter win the long jump as well in 4A. So James have double dipping there with male and female long jump champions. CJ, what are you looking forward to out at the state track meet later today and tomorrow?
Yeah, a lot of it will come tomorrow. Of course, I want to see that 4x1 relay. Of course, DeCorian Moore, the 5-star currently committed to LSU, will be on campus again. He's been a recurring visitor down to Texas over the last month or so, making another trip down here to compete, hopefully for a gold medal in the state 4x1 with what is essentially the fastest group of 4 in all of the land right now. It'll be Duncanville versus Atascocita. That's stealing the headlines right now. Jelani Watkins, the LSU signee down there in Atascocita. Rod, going back to Dallas versus Houston, we see it all the time, the state championship. Now we get to see it on the track a little bit again. That's going to be a fun one. DeCorian Moore coming in is going to steal the headlines for the recruiting side of things. And, of course, there's a couple throwers to keep an eye on. Some younger cats, like you mentioned, Jalen Lott, who won gold earlier this week as well. So we'll see just who all pops up. Of course, weather's not too great at the moment down here in Austin. It's been rainy all afternoon. We'll see if there's any delays. Hopefully not. I'd like to see some good running and throwing as much as I can this afternoon. So, but right now, DeCorian Moore is that 1-1 guy for me.
All right. We're also monitoring Javion Cole on his official visit to the University of Texas, a young cornerback out of San Jose State who was first team All Mountain West, according to the folks at Pro Football Focus. You know, people are saying, oh, well, he's only honorable mention All Mountain West. That was by the sports writers. Pro Football Focus, which actually looks at the tape, had him a first team All Mountain West guy. So keep that in mind. Also ran a 10.67 100 meter in high school. All right, that's going to do it for this afternoon. Live stream. Oh, you had something?
Yeah, modern-day linebacker 2025 Nasir White just committed to Oregon. Texas is in that final 3. Texas also stopped by modern-day yesterday as well. So one final push, not only for him, but Jordan Davison, and also making pushes for Sean Scott, the 26 edge, as well as Marcus Harris, obviously, and Mark Bowman, 2027 tight end, who might reclassify to 26, has big interest in Texas. But Nasir White did just commit to Oregon at the moment. Texas finished in the top three for him.
Yeah, that's a linebacker. All right, that's going to do it for this afternoon's live stream. Special thanks to Rod Babers and CJ Vogel, of course, but also to our sponsor, South Point Dodge. We appreciate those guys. Then we had super chats from George Lopez, Dennis Donaldson, Brandon Ralston. We appreciate you guys joining us each and every Friday afternoon like this. It starts the weekend off right. CJ, you've got a special guest coming up, we believe, tomorrow for a video. Jerry and I are going to be talking about the sophomore class on the Saturday morning conversation as well. We did that with the freshman class last week. We're going to try to really look deeply at the Texas sophomore class tomorrow morning. For Rod and CJ, I'm Bobby Burton. Our producer, Matt Hutchison. Hook 'em.
Hook 'em.
NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.